British Prime Minister Tony Blair has visited six countries since the September 11th attacks. Blair has been courting leaders from Islamic countries in a bid to shore up support for the coalition against terrorism. He's taken a very public role in that effort, so much so that some in Britain have dubbed him President Blair and are wondering whether he's overshadowing President Bush. NPR's Guy Raz reports from London.
The conservative British newspaper, The Daily Telegraph, no booster of Tony Blair or the Labour Party, recently published an editorial evoking the words of Winston Churchill. The paper called the past month Tony Blair's finest hour, and judging by his travel schedule over that period, it's been a veritable whirlwind. There was Tony Blair in Pakistan.
President Musharraf and I have had detailed and very worthwhile discussions.
The Prime Minister in Egypt.
First of all, can I say how grateful I am to President Mubarak for welcoming me here today and how pleased I am to be back in Egypt.
Tony Blair on the airport tarmac in India on his way to meet his Indian counterpart.
I think things are coming into place now. The political coalition is very strong in the outside world but also now in the region.
So confident has the Prime Minister emerged on the world stage that some are wondering who's leading the coalition against Afghanistan. During a recent Prime Minister's question time in Parliament, Conservative MP John Wilkinson brought the House down with a deliberate slip of the tongue.
Speaker, would the Prime Minister not
Historians and pundits have called the Prime Minister's style unprecedented. His recent speech to the Labour Party conference is widely considered one of the most significant made by a British politician since Winston Churchill uttered these words in the early days of World War II.
I would say to the House, as I said to those who have joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
The speech Blair delivered to the Labour Party conference last month is now being regarded as Churchillian.
Any action taken will be against the terrorist network of bin Laden. As for the Taliban, they can surrender the terrorists or face the consequences. And I say to the Taliban, surrender the terrorists or surrender power. That is your choice.
Blair's aggressive leadership has prompted some MPs to wonder whether they will have a role in war decisions. Traditionally, the Prime Minister consults his cabinet ministers closely on all policy matters. It's the hallmark of the parliamentary system. Paul Marsden, a Labour MP, expressed his frustration with the Prime Minister's style in Parliament this past week.
There is growing disquiet that for the third time Parliament has been recalled, and yet for the third time, honourable members have been denied a vote on this war.
In a bid to fight that criticism, Blair convened a war cabinet this past week, the first time since John Major put one together during the Gulf War. And according to local reports, Blair's been behind the push to deliver humanitarian aid to the Afghan people, alongside the military strikes. At times, it seemed, he was setting the agenda for the coalition.
To the Afghan people, we make this commitment. The conflict will not be the end. We will not walk away as the outside world has done so many times before there. If the Taliban regime changes, we will work with you to make sure its successor is one that is broad-based, that unites all ethnic groups, and that offers some way out of the miserable poverty that is your present existence.
This frank and forceful speech is making some members of the British public uncomfortable. It's a new role their government is playing. Ordinarily, Britons, like this young businesswoman in central London, are used to following America's lead.
I think it's important that you have to show that this can't go on, but at the same time, I think it is probably putting Britain in a bit of a riskier position than normal, really. Blair should be letting America sort of take sides first, and then we'd just step in if we were needed, rather than being up front to start with.
But despite these apprehensions about Britain's new, high-profile role on the world stage, Blair's popularity has skyrocketed here. In a poll taken this week, the Prime Minister's approval rating exceeded 75%, the highest for a British Prime Minister since the end of the Second World War. Guy Raz, NPR News, London.